Brother Bartlett says, I always sing the old ones. Well, there's an old one. I am determined, I've made up my mind. I'll serve the Lord. I left the world and its pleasures behind. I'll serve the Lord. I'll pasture wherever He feeds me. I'll follow wherever He leads me. I am determined, I made up my mind. I'll serve the Lord. I am determined, I've made up my mind. I'll serve the Lord. I've left this world and its pleasures behind. I'll serve the Lord. I'll follow wherever He leads me. I'll pasture wherever He feeds me. I am determined, I've made up my mind. I'll serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Shake hands with a few people. Tell them you're glad to see them. Amen. What was it between the keys? Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I told Brother Morgan I had to run back to our house yesterday afternoon to get some things, and on the way back, I thought, well, I'll just swing into McDonald's and get a burger. And about the time I was parking, I saw this car and parked behind me. And when I got out of my vehicle and looked back, this woman got out. And, man, I mean, she was tall. And when she got closer, she was taller than I was. Had this purse on her arm, you know. So she walked in, and she started, you know, walked up and, fella said, well, can I help you? And I heard, yes, I would like. And I got looking a little closer. I saw whiskers. And I was repulsed. But I was telling Brother Morgan, and he has been saying, we live in a society. There was nobody else in the restaurant that thought anything of that. I could tell. We cannot get desensitized by the society we are living in. Praise God. And I guess, Brother Charles, seeing you and I have turned the big 7-0 this year, I guess I'm an elder. I don't feel like an elder, but I guess I am. It thrills me to see younger men living for God. Praise God. Men here today that were just, some of you were just kids when we moved here, and you're living for God. My son, Matt, happened to go out with Pastor Jim Blatcher one evening, and when he came home, I said, well, how'd it go? He said, it was good. We had a lot of fun, Dad. And he said, in fact, he said, we went through McDonald's drive-thru. Yeah. What? Backwards. Matt thought that was so cool. Oh, my, my. Praise God. The whole flow of this meeting is just going a certain direction. And it just seems that messages are tied in together. Amen. And Brother Parrish, I'll just preach part two of your message, if that'd be all right. Amen. I'd like to turn your attention to 1 Chronicles chapter 10. Verse 1, and just one phrase. First Chronicles 10:1. How do you read? Somebody read it for me. Louder. Okay, stop. Now the Philistines fought against Israel. You may be seated. Fought against God's chosen people. Israel was a nation chosen by God. You cannot read the Old Testament and not realize that through Abraham came a chosen people. And God said, this nation that's going to come of you, those that you bless, I will bless. Those that you curse, I will curse. Those that bless you, I will bless. Those that curse you, I will curse. God's chosen people out of all the nations. And, you know, the Bible even, there are many great mighty nations, but God chose Israel. Chosen. What about us? I don't know about you, but I like being chosen. When I was a kid in school, and after we'd eat lunch, we'd go to the playground, and we'd quickly organize a game of softball. And so, two guys, you know, they'd come up and they'd have a bat, and the one guy would throw the bat to the other guy. He'd catch it, and then it was no topsies. No, you can't topsies. And, of course, the one that got the top got first choice. Who did he choose? What? He chose who he thought was the best kid there. And we're all lined up. We had a big wall. There was a basketball court, and then you went down steps to the ball field. And we'd all line up against that wall, and he'd choose who he thought was the best boy there. And then the other guy would choose, well, you know, he would have been my first choice, but since he got him, I'll take this one. And so it went back and forth. I thank God I was never the best. I never got chosen first. But Brother Morgan, thank God I never got chosen last. And it would finally come down, and there was one kid standing against the wall. And the teams were even, but we knew by the rules he's got to play. And so these two captains are standing there, and they say, well, you can have him. And he looks at him and says, no, you go ahead and take him. That's okay. And they'd have this argument. Here's this poor kid standing there. He's no dummy. Finally, one says, all right, come on. And he looks at the other team. And they're almost all right-handed batters. So more than likely, most of the balls that are hit are going to go to left field. They don't put this kid at first base. They don't put him at the hot spot, third base. They don't put him at short. They definitely don't put him in left field. Hey, play right field. And then if a left-handed batter happens to come up, oh, wait a minute. Hey, go over to left and let's put our good guy over right. And you'd think he'd get the message. But the next day, we're back and here we go again. Nobody wanted him. Nobody wanted him on their team. You know, invariably, it's almost time to go in and the game's tied. And, you know, we got a runner on third. You know, the game is tied. We got a runner on third, two outs. Who's up? Who's up? And so we try to say, well, step in. We try to slip in somebody else to bat. No. It's his turn. I like being chosen. Amen. And as Israel was God's chosen people, friend, you sitting here, you're not here by accident. You're here because you are the chosen of God Almighty. Oh, I don't know if that excites you, but that excites me. That out of all, woo, that out of all the masses of God chose me. Hallelujah. The millions, the billions of people in this world today, and you're privileged to sit here. Amen. Feel the presence of Almighty God. And know your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Peter thinks we're special too. Hallelujah. He says, we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That sounds pretty special to me, my friends. But is it possible for men and women who are especially favored of heaven to be brought into direct conflict and warfare? Isn't everything supposed to be made plain and simple? Amen. And when the enemy of our soul and the imps of hell see us coming with his banner waving over us, aren't they just supposed to fall back? Amen. And let us pass through on our way to victory? You're dreaming. You're not living in a real world. We find the exact opposite. Seems the closer we would get to Jesus Christ. Anybody have a desire here to leave here? Amen. With a closer walk with God? That's one of the reasons I'm here. Amen. I've been in this thing all my life, but one of the reasons I'm here, Brother Springer, is when I leave here tomorrow, I trust and pray that I'm a little closer to the Lord. Praise God. But that desire, amen, Brother Parrish, that desire is well and good. You've got to have it. But if you think the devil's going to look at your desire and step back and say, well, go ahead, get as close as you want. No. You're going to have battles. You're going to have fights. Peter also said that our example, the Lord Jesus Christ, left us an example that we were to follow in his steps. And look at the Lord's life from cradle to cross. Was filled with direct temptation and conflict from the devil. Everywhere he turned, he was met with unbelief. He was met with contempt, by suspicion, all manner of hostility. Amen. He met it every day. Oh, yes, there were those, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. But the majority, amen, the whole religious society of that day wanted nothing to do with him. It was a battle. It was a fight. In the most reverent sense of the term, God himself has to maintain his own sovereignty by daily controversy. First Chronicles 10:1, the Philistines fought against Israel. Where were they fighting? They were fighting in the plains of Jezreel, also known as Esdraelon. And this was not the first battle that was fought here. This ground had soaked up the blood of many a soldier. Many a battle had been fought on the plains of Jezreel. Many a conflict had been fought here. And oh, the conflict, amen, in the child of God's life. Amen. Do you find it a battle? Amen. Do you find life is a battle, friend? Amen. As somebody said, whether in the church or out of the church, life's a battle. Amen. The devil tries to tell you, well, all this stuff and all this junk that's happening in your life is because you're in the church. Hogwash. Amen. Life is life. Jesus didn't pray that we'd be taken out of the world. He said, but in the world, they would be kept. Thank God. Hallelujah. He's given us something. Amen. That we can live in the world, but don't have to be of the world. We don't have to accept this society's morals. We can still stand for the Word of God. So the longer you're a child of God, the battles do not diminish, but they grow in number and intensity. But the grounds of the historical battles of the child of God, if you will allow them, one day they will be the most precious possession of you. It's how you look at the battle. It's your attitude with the battle. Amen. Oh God, why is this coming to me? Amen. I don't know. We don't know. I've had people come to me over the pastor. Why? I really don't know. But I do know this, that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Amen. Them that are the called according to his purpose. It's not just contingent upon loving the Lord. You've got to be called according to his purpose. Some sitting here today can remember the battles fought in your life. Battles over the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. Battles fought over alcohol, drugs. Battles fought over tobacco and addictions. Times when you thought you'd won the victory. You went days, you went months, maybe even years, amen, and you were reveling, hallelujah. You looked around at the ground you had gained. You looked where you were some months ago and where you are now, and look at the ground I've gained, only to be blindsided by the enemy. Only be knocked down by the enemy, Brother Sanders. Amen. And ground that you fought for. Ground, I mean you fought for it. You see yourself retreating. Hallelujah. You see that ground being retaken by the enemy. Amen. Oh, friends, it is a battle. I wonder how many bottles of booze have been poured down kitchen sinks. I wonder how many pills and powders have been flushed down toilets. And people, I'll never touch it again. I'll never do it again. Only to find yourself succumbing to those desires and falling back and seeing that precious ground you had fought for back in the end of the hand of the enemy. Oh, friend, listen, it happens to all of us. Amen. because it's happened to you doesn't mean you're unique. We've all had those times, amen, when it's seemingly we're being knocked back. When I was a kid, Rocky Marciano was he was the guy. Anybody recognize the name Rocky Marciano? Heavyweight champ of the world, retired undefeated. Now, in the rules of boxing today, 3 knockdowns in a round, that's it. It's a TKO. In Marciano's day, they didn't have that. He was fighting Ezra Charles. And Marciano was a brawler. You know, he was just, of course, Italian. And he was, just stocky. And he's always plowing in. Ezra Charles was just peppering him. He was like Muhammad. He floated like a butterfly but stung like a bee. And it wasn't long until Marciano's eyes were almost swollen shut. He had blood streaming down out of his nose. He had been knocked down repeatedly. And he and Charles, they were friends. They knew each other. And it got to the point where Charles knocked him down and said, "Rocky, please stay down. Don't get up. I don't want to have to inflict any more punishment. Please stay down." But there was something in Marciano. He'd grab a hold of that ring, that rope, and he'd pull himself up, and here he'd come again. And it finally got to the point where Charles wasn't so much concerned about what he was going to do to Marciano. He thought, "Hey, I've hit this guy with everything I've got. Amen. I've laid leather on him all over, and he just keeps getting up." And sure enough, in the last round, Marciano knocks him out. Hallelujah. Hey, friend, it's not so much you got knocked down. We've all been there. But the thing is, get up. Get up. Get back in the battle. Hallelujah. Get back in the fight. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Control yourself, as Brother Arnold would say. Amen. Pick up that shield. Pick up the sword. Amen. And the next day, the devil looks out and says, "What's he doing here?" Man, I inflicted pain on him the last couple of days, last couple of months. What's he doing back here? I'll tell you what he's doing back here. Amen. Not only does he have desire, Brother Perry, but he's got determination. Hallelujah. 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 If anyone's going to walk streets of gold, hey, it might as well be me, Brother Junior. Praise God. If anybody's going to sit at the marriage supper of the Lamb, praise God, it might as well be me. Praise God. So I'm telling you, hey, we're here to get encouraged, yes, and uplifted. But Brother Dave, when we leave here tomorrow afternoon, when you drive off these campgrounds, friends, you're going to meet the devil head on again. Amen. It's not going to matter to him that you've been at a men's retreat. Big deal. What'd you get there? Come on. Come on. What'd you get there? Praise God. I'll show you what I got there, Mr. Devil. Hallelujah. And so, you look at the ground you've lost. You realize, I can't do it. I can't do it. Brother Parrish, I heard a similar story. In the old, old West, cowboy found the Lord, got saved. And after being in church for a couple months, he said, "Pastor, I need to talk to you." He'd been the town drunk. Everybody knew it. And the pastor said, "What is it?" He said, "Well, I'm just, you know, I come into town and I just have these cravings." Well, in times past, when he rode into town, you know, he got off his horse right in front of the bar. And so the pastor says, well, where do you hitch your horse? He said, well, down in front of. He said, just change the hitching post. Anybody here ever had a problem with alcohol in the past? Yeah. But today, Brother Al, amen, you walk by the bar. Amen. You smell it and all that. You just walk by. Amen. There's people here that had trouble with tobacco. Amen. But not anymore. You can walk into a room full of smoke and it just repulses you. Amen. Praise God. Thank God we matured. But listen, those battlefields, amen, one day they need to be turned into beautiful gardens, amen, with fruit trees producing the most delicious fruit, hallelujah, amen, that you can feast off of. Hey, here's Samson, okay? He's going down to Timnath. And the Bible says a lion came out and roared against him. He doesn't have a sword, doesn't have a spear, doesn't even have a pocket knife. He's got nothing in his hand. And that lion approaches him, pause, and the Las Vegas guys come around. My money's on the lion. Get any takers for the man? Are you kidding? That animal that can be 10 feet long from the tip of his nose to the tip of his tail, 500 to 600 pounds. Instances where lions have leapt over 10-foot barriers and grabbed young calves and jumped back over the barrier. My money's on the lion. Now, Brother Morgan, I don't know if Samson just spoke to the lion. Amen. The Bible doesn't give us a lot of detail. Just that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson and he slew the lion. And if you think, you know, that, hey, Samson just looked at the lion, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord or whatever, and the lion fell off. But Brother Playo, for those that are a little more adventurous in their imagination, amen, I think there was a tussle. I think there was a battle, amen. There was a fight, amen. That ground got torn up and they rolled, and I mean, it was a fight, a battle. I believe Samson carried some scratches on him. Amen. Those jaws were constantly trying to grab his neck. Amen. Those claws trying to rip out his innards. It was a battle. It was a fight. I don't know how long it took. But finally, the lion succumbed. Maybe an old tree stump. Lazarus just fell down. I mean, the sweat is just pouring off him. His fatigue is shaking. And he looks over at that dead lion. And he can hardly believe it himself. And after a few minutes, he gets up and he walks over. He walks around that lion, he nudges him with his foot. I mean, and then it hits him like a ton of bricks. Amen. There's no way I could have done that. There was no way I could overcome this beast. Amen. I believe and I give glory to God Almighty. Hallelujah. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. It doesn't matter what circumstances say. Amen. Everybody, Las Vegas, yeah, I've got my money on the devil. Hey, I'm telling you today, there are some men here, hallelujah, that are going to come overcome all the obstacles, all the odds. And friend, when you have come through the battle, When you look back and see what's been accomplished, there's no doubt in our hearts and minds, it wasn't me. I didn't have it in me. Amen. But our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through the Spirit to the pulling down of strongholds. I give glory to God. Now, can you imagine? My son-in-law, he really likes the outdoors. Can you imagine, Brother Chet, he goes walking out here later on this evening. Amen. And he comes in here. Man, he's got claw marks and scratch marks all over him. He said, hey, come here. Takes us outside, and there's a big carcass of a bear laying out there. And he looks at it and says, hey, I killed that bear with my bare hands. Now, we see him. We see the evidence that there's been and we see the dead bear. Man, it wouldn't be long till KSRM is here. It wouldn't be long until the Peninsula Clarion is here, reporter. They'd even come down from Anchorage, Pastor Blackshear. Television, they'd want to know. And I guarantee it'd be front page news. Amen. It would be front page news. Amen. Listen, let me tell you something. There are battles that you go through. There are fights that you fight. And you are victorious. Hey, amen. You don't have to get up on a peach basket somewhere and say, hey, look what I've done. Look what I did. Look what I've overcome. No. What did Samson do with the lion? He grabs that lion by its tail. And I know the Bible doesn't say its tail, but hey, is that okay? Okay, and he drags that lion off the side of the road, gets it somewhere, and kind of caches it like, you know, a big old brown bear would do. And he goes on his way. And when he gets to Timnath, you know, apparently he's cleaned up, and he doesn't tell anybody. He doesn't tell one soul what's taking place. I don't read in Samuel. I don't read about a big, you know, chapters of David killing a lion and a bear. David doesn't brag about it. Hey, big brother, look what I've done. But when the time came and Saul said, hey, you can't go out against this man. He's been trained as a soldier all his life and you're just a kid. Now, oh, yes, Saul. But let me tell you something about this kid. This kid watching his daddy's sheep one day had a lion come, and another time a bear came, and I slew them both. So all of a sudden, Saul is looking and seeing David in a different light. Amen. And I don't need your armor, and I don't need your protection. Amen. Goliath, you come to me with a shield, a spear, and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God of it. That's all you need, friend. You and me, Jesus, we sure fooled them all. They all laughed and thought for sure I was gonna fall. I'm sure far from perfect, as you can plainly see. But after all these years, dear Lord, it's still you and me. Long as I have Jesus! My daddy can whip your daddy. Hallelujah. My big brother can whip you. Hallelujah. Woo! And then the Bible says, after a time, I don't know, it was days, weeks, months, Brother Bradbury, I don't know. But Samson was coming that way again. And now the ground isn't all torn up. There's no evidence that there'd ever been a battle. There's flowers probably growing. There's birds in the branches singing. You know, the sun is shining. Everything is. And there's not the feeling that he had whenever it took place. It's totally different. I overcame that lion here. This is where it happened. Hallelujah. This is where. And then he got thinking, wonder about that lion. And so he goes over. And as he gets closer, he begins to hear, bzz, bzz. And when he gets to where he can see it, lo and behold, the bees have made a hive in the carcass. Now, I don't know if he built a fire, Brother Clint. Amen. And put some green brush on it and got a lot of smoke, Brother Dave, and the bees took off. I don't know. But Samson reached in. And out of that thing that had tried to destroy him, that would have destroyed him, but out of that battle, amen, and he remembered every bit of it, but now he reaches down and he gets honey. What's the first thing you think of when you think of honey? Sweet. Sweet, not sour, not bitter. You guys that drink that bitter stuff in the morning, I've tried drinking it with all kinds of cream and sugar, and it's still bitter to me. So I drink my Diet Dr. Pepper. Honey is sweet. And do you know what? They've unearthed honey. Hey, man, that has been in tombs for hundreds of years, and it's still good. It doesn't need any preservatives added, and it's one of the most best foods for you. My wife listen, and I'm butchering the English language here. Amen. It's some of the best food for you, the nutrients. Amen. Honey, honey, honey. And Samson just, man, I see him. He's covered in honey. He just feasting on that, and he gets full. Goes to the creek and cleans up, and he's about to leave, and then he goes back and he gets some more honey, and he takes that honey with him. Hey, Mom, Dad, here, have some honey. Where'd it come from? They didn't know. Maybe they shared it with others too. So where'd you get this? Well, Samson got it. Well, where'd Sam? I don't know where he got it, but boy, it sure is good. Hallelujah. So that battle, amen, that fight that you fought individually by your own self, amen, that's just not meant for you, amen, to partake of the sweetness of that. But the sweetness that we get here, friends, we're supposed to take with us. Hey, have some honey. Have some good stuff that I got at retreat. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you a child of God? Let me see your hand. Now, my kids are all grown and away from home. They pretty much lead their lives. But I had to step out and take a call from my son this morning, who's in his last month of law school down in Oregon. Amen. And I felt good, Brother Morgan. He had a problem, and he called Dad. Now, he's not serving God today yet. Amen. Praise God. But Pastor Blatchy called me, made me feel good. Amen. But listen, he just turned 44. But when he was 4 and he was 10, 14, Brother Dave, I had a whole lot to say about where he went, what he did. Like you, you know, where have you been today? What's going on today, son? Pastor Bradbury, that is our duty. It's not Mom's duty. It's our duty, son. Come on. Are you a child of God? Do you feel so mature and so big? Oh, God, I can make my own decisions, and I can go where I want to go, and I can do what I want to do. Amen. Maybe you feel that way, but this fella doesn't feel that way. Amen. Amen. Everything that comes into my life, Lord, I want you to have your way. Amen. I feel that way, Pastor Bradbury, that everything comes into my life, Brother Sanders. It comes by my daddy first. Hallelujah. Amen. And if it's there, he's allowed it to be there. And if he's allowed it to be there, then there's purpose in it being there. So I don't need to bemoan, oh God, why am I going through this and why that? Amen. And realize, hey, I'm with you through the valley. I'm with you through the testing. I told you I'd never leave you. I'd never forsake you. Amen. I'm with you. But it's in that valley. It's in that battle that you're going to get your spiritual might. There's purpose in it. Living for the devil has no purpose whatsoever. It's a dead-end street. So, the battle I find myself in, the conflict, the fight. Amen. You know, we like to refer to Job in the first couple chapters of Job. But you start reading after the third and fourth chapter. He had some questions, Brother Sanders. But you know, in all of it, he retained his integrity. Though his friends said, oh, you must have been living the side, something on the side. You must have been some evil, evil. Job said, no. And even though I see him working up here and I go and I can't find him, I see him working behind me on the sides. I can't find him. But you know what? He knows the way I take. Amen. Hallelujah. Lisa Murkowski doesn't call me every morning and ask my advice. Amen. On this, that, or the other thing. The governor doesn't call me. And thank God the president doesn't call me. Amen. And I don't know all what's going on in the kingdom of God around the world today. I don't know the many, many things. And when I stop to think about it, man, it just befuddles me to imagine a God that hears millions and millions of voices coming up to him at one time, and out of them all, oh, that's Brother Dave. Oh, that's Brother Playo. He recognizes each of our voices. He knows the way I take. And when I've come through it, I'm coming through, amen, as fine, fine gold. Coming to a close, but from what I've read, scholars, Bible scholars, anywhere from 7 to 9 years, Saul chased David. Just about the time he gets somewhere that he thought, I can relax a little, somebody get a hold of Saul and said, David's here. And always, just constantly, constantly. Not a week, not 7 days, not 7 months, but probably 7 years. Constantly, constantly. Got so bad he had to send his mom and dad to Moab to live. And then, now out of all the enemies that Israel had, what do you think is the most well-known enemy? The Philistines fought against Israel. You know, Saul has slain his thousands, David has slain his 10,000s. Well, a good part of those 10,000s were Philistines. Brother Ken, things got so bad that David finally takes him and his men and they go to Philistia. And they are given a little community by the name of Ziklag. I think for about maybe 10, 12 months, David was there. And then word came. Philistines are going out against Israel. David gathers his men. Here we go. But when they get to where all the armies came together, generals of the Philistines said, "Who's that?" "Well, that's David. The guy that killed Goliath? What's he doing here?" "Well, he's going to go into battle with us. He's been living in a little town down here that I gave him. And hey, he likes me, and he's in our camp, and he's with us." We don't want Saul here and David back here. No. So David turns, he and his men, and they go back to Ziklag. But one more little knoll to go over, and man, it smells, something's burning. Oh, look at the smoke. That's where Ziklag is. And they come to the top of that hill and look down to see Ziklag in ashes, burnt. And their first thought, our wives, our children, everything's gone. The Bible says they got down in Ziklag to find out that a raiding band of Amalekites had come through and not destroyed, but taken all of their wives and children, all their possessions, gone. And the Bible said those big, hardy soldiers sat down and wept. Wept till there was no more power in them to weep. It had to be one of the lowest points of David's life. He remembered oil being poured over his head when he had no idea what was taking place. And he remembered as that oil swept down or ran down over his forehead, across his eyebrows, around his nose, across his lips, down from his... He remembered, oh, something came upon... The Bible said the Spirit of the Lord came upon David that day. He remembered that. He remembered, I'm supposed to be king. But I'm telling you, the throne looks so far away as he's sitting in the ashes of Ziklag. It looks, he can't hardly see it. And then some of his men come by and he hears them. And they're contemplating about stoning David. It's David's fault this has all happened. Again, in boxing, I don't think they do it anymore, but used to be when a guy was getting just his brains bashed in, his corner would throw in a white towel, signifying it's over, it's done. Do you think David maybe might have considered throwing in the towel? Big, bold warrant. Ah, no, no. Brother Sanders, I just kind of think, he maybe thought, is it worth it? Is it worth it? Brother Morgan, you've encouraged me with your messages. Brother Parrish, very encouraged. You men, watching you worship, watching you just being around, I'm encouraged. I'm leaving this place encouraged. Thank you. Thank you. One of my young boys stood here last night. I mean, he's going through it. Decisions to be made, and I watched him stand there and tears flow down his cheeks. Speak in tongues, Brother Lamas. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. How many people have gone from a service and said to somebody who sang a special, "Oh, I needed that. That was so encouraging. And
pastor, you thought you laid the biggest egg you've ever laid. And somebody come by and grab your hands, tears streaming. Man, that meant so much. Just what I needed, pastor. Have you ever been encouraged? Well, who was there to encourage David? Who is there to say, come on, David, it's going to be okay. Come on. Remember the anointing and remember we're with. No. I mean, they're talking about stoning him. But what do we read? And David encouraged himself in the Lord. Thank God for all the encouragements. I like them. But there are times in this walk with God when you're just going to have to grab yourself by the nape of the neck and you're just going to have to encourage yourself in the Lord. And David did it. And if David could do it, friend, we can do it. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care how deep the valley. I don't care what it seems like. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Stay standing. Stay standing. And David inquires at the Lord. David says, should I pursue this troop? You know, and God doesn't have to say a whole lot to say a whole lot. One word, pursue. Pursue. Well, God, you're the great God Almighty. Hey, you can bring it all back to me. I just believe that he can. But David, I want you to pursue. And they strapped their swords on, amen, and they pursued. And it wasn't long, Brother Lamas, until they came down those Amalekites. And they're not camped up against a big old rock cliff somewhere, amen, with sentries out there. They're out on a flat plain. And they're partying. We inflicted some. They wouldn't dare come after us. Let me tell you something. There are times the enemy comes. Amen. He comes into your life and you're not doing anything. David wasn't doing anything wrong. Amen. But the enemy slips in and he takes some precious stuff from us. Amen. And we look to the Lord and the Lord says, pursue, pursue. And you come upon the enemy and the enemy thinks, no, they're not going to pursue after that. Oh, no, they're down and out. Forget it. Amen. David didn't wait till dawn. He said, come on, we're getting it now. Amen. No wait until tomorrow, when next week. Amen. Put the sword of the Spirit in your hand. Amen. And let's pursue. And the Bible said they recovered all. Everything the Amalekites took, they got back. Plus, all the booty that the Amalekites had gotten raiding other places, David and his men got all of that. And when they got back to Ziklag, you know what David did? He took some of that booty and he sent it throughout Israel. He said, here's a gift. Here's some of the spoils. You weren't there. You weren't in the fight. The sweat wasn't rolling down your face. You weren't swinging a sword. But you know what? God's been good to me. And God gave us the victory. And I've got more than enough. And I just want to share what I have gotten through the battle. I want to share it with you. Brother Stacy, I want to share some things with you. Amen. Brother Jim, I want to share some things. Brother Bagwell, amen. Hey, it's time we started going to one another. Amen. Not feeling jealous when somebody's having revival. Not feeling jealous when the Spirit of God is moving somewhere. And friend, when it's happening in your church, hey, you need to share it. Praise God. Share it around. There's enough to go around. Can we love the Lord? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Brother Churchill. Thank you, Brother Parrish. Praise God.